You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
And we're live.
Are we?
We are.
Motor City Comic Con 2017. Yeah.
Welcome to a special edition of the IT and the D Show, broadcasting live. Motor City Comic Con 2017. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, hanging out with Josh from, oh my God, I was going to say Breaking Down the Ring. That's Mikey's. From, oh my God.
Top Rope Review.
Top Rope Review.
Sundays at 4.
Nerk and nerk
and
nerk.
And we have a special guest star. Jay Clark is in the house.
They somehow let him through customs again. I don't
know
how.
Silly-ass border guards. I don't know why they keep making that same mistake. But here I am.
Host of An Elegant Weapon. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be here, guys. How are you doing?
Did you bring me some ketchup chips?
Oh, I should have. I could have. I'm sorry.
You're
off. I didn't realize.
Turn off the mic stand.
I'll bring you a whole care package next time. Some ketchup chips, some coffee crisp chocolate
bar. Yeah,
of
course.
Yeah, coffee
crisp. And the good croissants from Tim's, because they don't make them good here.
And real Smarties.
Well, and just some Tim's coffee, so it'll smell like weed.
Right, right.
I can't tell the difference.
No, great story.
No, so I'm at, long story short, my cousin's a dentist, and I needed some work done. I went over there, and we go to Arby's, because I haven't eaten in like 8 hours. It's in his parking lot. Step on a little bag, and he puts it in his pocket. I go, did you drop your weed in the Arby's? And he goes, and he smells it. He goes, oh, my God, it's, you know. We start giggling, and he just, long story short, I grab some Tim's. I go across the border. Guy looks at me, he goes, what are you bringing over? I go, just a fine cup of coffee, sir, from Tim Hortons. He goes, smells like dope. I'm like, sir? And he goes, every time someone brings a cup of Tim's over, it smells like that. I'm like, maybe that's why it tastes so good on this side of the border, eh?
This special Canadian ingredient.
And the special blend.
And he let me through. So what's up? What's going on your show lately? You had any cool guests? Or what's?
I've had a lot of fun time. The spring's been crazy busy because there's so many shows that happened. Okay. I just did the Toronto Comic Arts Festival last week. Chatted with some people. That's a huge event in Toronto where it's three levels of the Toronto Public Library are filled with an artist's alley. Like dozens and dozens, biggest artist alley you've ever seen, but all the work is original. So no prints, no superheroes. It's just like all cool.
That's been a thing lately. Is you can't in artist alley have stuff that's.
Well, you don't want to take. Yeah, that's in general just ripping people off. You don't want prints or other people's characters.
Well, I never understood why you would buy like a picture from an artist of, let's say, like Batman, when you could just buy a picture of Batman.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if it's their own interpretation,
yes,
or like a different spin
that's
on it, or
most
something
of them
like that,
are,
no, they're not. Most of them are just copies.
A lot of them. And, well, the big thing right now is the filter problem, where people are taking other people's prints and then like washing them over with different filters, or slightly changing the aesthetic, and then selling those as prints, just flat out ripping
like
people
vanilla
off,
icing,
right?
It. No, it's done.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah, a little vanilla sprinkled on top, and
right.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works, but. You know, it's, and Philly, of course, we were in Philly like a month ago, which was
a good time.
Great times. Alan Tudyk panel, I got to moderate.
He will always be Alpha.
He was great.
He'll always
hilarious.
Be Alpha from Dollhouse.
Yeah,
always.
Yeah. And I did a crazy cool Star Wars panel with a bunch of the older guys. It was David Ankrum, Angus McInnes, Alan Harris, and I'm missing one. I'm sorry, I can't remember. Fourth one. Alan Harris, David McInnes, David Ankrum.
Totally smoke too much weed. Jim.
I do. I entirely too much weed. But either way, it was a really cool experience to be up there talking with these four guys who have been, from the original movie right through up till now, getting to do new stuff because of Rogue One,
right.
Of course, Awakens. So, yeah.
So, really we cool. haven't seen you in a year.
Yeah.
I'm going to drop a bomb.
All right.
Dave hated Rogue One.
All right, so let's be honest. The only reason that Rogue One was done was to close the why was there a hole in the Death Star plot hole.
I don't think that was the only reason.
That's the only reason that movie was
okay,
made,
that
was
movie
to
reason
shut up
was
the heavy-duty
made,
nerds.
But nobody expected that answer. That was an answer we were given we were not expecting to get that just pleased the shit out of us.
But
right?
that's the only reason why that movie was made. And it's the stupid...
Why is that a bad thing, though?
Yeah.
Because it was dumb. It's a dumb reason to make a movie. And then the one thing that threw me off a lot were, I mean, there's some continuity errors in the movie that set things. So, like, we're talking about basically the last 3 minutes leading up to A New Hope.
Right.
So how is it that 3PO and R2 are on the deck while the ship that they're supposed to be on is already up in space? Because there's no time for them to come back and get
them. Honestly, I didn't notice that.
See?
Well, I'd have to watch again. I'm not letting the ganja take the brunt for this one.
So now they're going to have another movie to answer that question.
So you mean the ship, when Leia was on the blockade runner at the end, after she got the plans of driving away, they weren't on the ship?
The Tantive is already up in space.
And they're not on it?
And they're down on the ground.
It's a pretty glowing error.
A little bit.
You know? Yeah, I agree. I didn't notice.
And it was such a gratuitous throwaway. Oh my God, we need to have R2 and 3PO
in this
movie.
Yeah, they just
kind
of propped them in there.
Why couldn't they just have them in the room with Leia or something?
Well, I think the thing is that we don't actually know that the Tantive's in the air yet at that point.
Yes, we do.
Do we, though?
Because the battle is right then.
Yeah.
Right, but none of the rogue people that are also in the battle are they're still on the deck.
They don't need to be on the Tantive. They're on the deck to die. That means R2 and 3PO should be dead if they were still on the deck.
So I forget the exact line, but there's something in it about the Tantive is already up in space. Okay. Like the Tantive is already out there.
Well, it takes
that's
off,
what jumped out at me.
And Vader's standing there with his saber and the hole is open as the ship's going away.
So answer me a question.
He had to go get another ship to chase that ship. So maybe they came back to get him in between getting that
ship. We better stop and get the two robots.
No, there was a YouTube video that broke this hole open. Now I'm pissed about Rogue One a little bit.
See?
Yeah. Vader's going through the hallway and he's zapping this guy.
That was the best part about Rogue One.
Yeah, but listen.
Badass Vader we've been waiting for.
He used the Force to pull away their guns, but he didn't use the Force to pull away the goddamn hard drive. The guy's in the doorway. He can't get through. Whoop, all you do is grab the damn hard drive, and then he's got the little thumb drive, and then he's got the plans back.
It's all in a USB drive.
Yes.
God damn it.
No, I think they were using analog, though.
It was a giant tape. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point.
Well, see, and then let's be real. So the CGI sucked.
I thought Tarkin was good, but Leia was off. I thought Tarkin
sucked.
Was pretty good.
You know what's funny?
I saw that movie in 3D at the theater. Saw it at the theater regular. Saw it at home. At home, I would say it was 3 to 5 times better.
At home, it looked a lot better.
It was so much better at home.
I've only watched it the one time in the theater so far.
Watch it at home, it's better.
Right. All right, cool.
Like, it's interesting how much... I don't know if it's just because I got, four steps to pee and then my wife brought me coffee and stuff.
And you can hit pause.
Yeah, you can hit pause.
There were a few things, though. Like, obviously it was a movie made for the fans who love the deep, deep cuts. Even if it didn't make sense, there were certain things for certain ones of us. Like, when the first time he mentions that, what's his name, was a Guardian of the Will.
Yep.
The second I heard Guardian of the Will, I was like, I was absolutely in nerdgasm heaven.
But so, and that's the sad reality is that now, like, they're never going to come back to that. Like, you know they're not.
I've heard them talk about doing a prequel of him and them and the two and blanking on the names.
I can see that though.
They're thinking about doing like a prequel.
Let's be honest, it is Disney. We're gonna have a movie of Star Wars every year.
They're gonna have to come up with something.
Yeah.
My dream is, see, I'm not a Star Wars guy as much as I'm a Jedi Sith guy. I got into Star Wars originally in the 90s for the comics because I loved all this old Sith lore, Old Republic. And those are the stories. That's why I love Dark Horse Comics so much, the Star Wars ones, right? So
because
it was
that and the Heir to the Empire series.
All of that stuff. Yeah. But this is like, there's stories that go 4,000 years before.
Oh, with Plagueis.
You know, way back. So I'd like to see them go into that era. I'd like to see maybe a show like, they've been talking about like maybe a Netflix type show forever.
And, yeah.
Where it's an Old Republic show, right? I didn't think I'd like Rogue One so much because there's no lightsabers. I was like, there's nothing in this movie for me. I just like it because it's a Star Wars movie.
But we finally get to see Vader.
I ended up loving it.
And you get to see Mustafar. Like, that was cool, because, like, you know it, like, and that's...
His
like,
castle,
so that's some of the interesting psychology where, you know, they don't get into the fact that he built his castle on the planet where he was so grievously wounded.
It's like a dark side nexus for him.
Yep.
Yeah. All of that negative emotion and experience.
And so now is Kylo Ren. Let's take a step back. Here's why Rogue One and Seven kind of pissed me off. And this is because this is what I fear now. Now I fear the formula has now been written for all Star Wars movies moving forward.
That would be scary.
It is. No, it's 10 minutes of, hey, remember when we had this? Remember? You liked it? Remember? Yeah. And then like 40 minutes of like stuff. and then like the, and then like yeah, and then like the last 10 minutes is going to be all super hit. Remember berries. Remember this character. Remember this super character. Remember. That's what it's going to be.
Well, I was really disappointed in Force Awakens. I was completely one of those people as I was watching it thinking, you know what, this is episode one. Like,
the aluminum,
the
aluminum Falcon and Han Solo scene, A, pissed me off, and B, did it have to be another Death Star?
Yes, the whole thing. Did it have to be another version?
And how did eight X-Wings blow that up?
Yeah,
Like, if you look at it, when they came out of hyperspace.
One took out the first one.
It was eight. No, but there was more than one. There was the squadron. Yeah. This was eight.
Well, I'm hoping that the new ones go somewhere new because, you know, everybody's wondering what the whole the Jedi Must End thing is. Why did Luke say that? You heard that?
I was reading like it goes to the Gray Jedi.
There's so many theories of where it could go. Yeah. Is the interesting thing. I, for one, would be sad to see the name Jedi die, but just because I'm a fan.
Yeah,
but,
I think that that's. Yeah. I think that that quote is from like when Rey first finds him, and then she convinces him that he's wrong.
I hope so. I agree. I really hope so. I really, really hope so. Right now, the best thing about Star Wars is Star Wars Rebels, though.
Yes.
I've been turned on to that. I've been watching.
Oh, my God. Did you see Twin Suns, the one episode where Obi-Wan and Darth Maul have their final...
Yes. Oh. That was the best.
Of all Star Wars movies, that scene is, I think, my favorite Star Wars scene out of anything ever done.
The fact that they didn't let Maul go into two... It's almost like the grand blasphemy of the entire series. Yeah.
Well, you notice how
just a waste of a character in the history of the franchise.
Well, they brought him back for quite enough things, but did you notice the move he went to make on Obi-Wan was the exact same set of moves he used on Qui-Gon?
Right.
And obviously, Obi-Wan is so good by that point, and he's seen that I was expecting, I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh, big battle, it's going to be crazy, Obi-Wan, Darth Vader, and then bam, it's over in 2 seconds.
It's like Jake the Snake going to the DDT twice in a row.
Just boom, boom. But then you're like, holy shit, and even before you have a chance to think, the whole exchange where Darth Maul is like, tell me, is he the chosen one?
So now, do you
like,
believe
yes, he shall avenge us.
Maul's coming to come back in 8?
I don't think so, no.
Because he didn't die? Because Jedi don't die, like, falling. Right, kind of like Samuel Jackson.
In half.
Right, but
he was cut in half and didn't die already.
Right,
I don't see them making
the wounds cauterized.
Cartoon continuity,
and they kept his head, and then they built his bowels and his wiener and his legs.
I'm waiting for.
How is that not plausible?
It won't happen.
You're stupid.
Now he's done it.
I'm waiting for the Dark Empire.
Oh, if they bring ideas
the clone
in there?
Hand, all that kind of stuff with Luke and the cloning technology.
If they go that way, when they first did the exchange and everything went from Legends into Legends, you know, they said to us, oh, we're going to still use stuff. We'll cherry pick and this and that. And I thought they were just placating us.
Right.
But they have used so much.
Well, Thrawn's back.
Biggest example. Thrawn being back is that... That showed us they care.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm still cranky that that's not a movie. Like that they didn't make Heir to the Empire in that series.
Yeah, Jara Saboth on screen,
dude. That should have been
crazy
what brought
mad
it back.
Scientist Jedi,
well, which would fit in with the cloning and all that. I mean,
it's interesting to see. I think right now is the most open it's ever been as to where it could go. I don't think they're going to... I think they may take the same tone as Empire, but they're not going to do it beat for beat like Force Awakens and New Hope mirror.
I'm a little worried, though, because you do have... You had Luke going to Yoda to train. You have Rey going to Luke to train.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Ghosts must be used. You cannot make the new trilogy without at least one Force ghost in there. I don't know who it could be. You could pick Qui-Gon. You could pick Anakin. Here's the thing. Anakin showing up, Hayden Christensen... For the first time in 15 years, did Star Wars Celebration this year.
True.
And balls on the guy. Mad balls on the guy for having the cojones to get up in front of this society that is, for the past 15 years has scorned him. But now these kids are
showing
going
up. In the
now these
Return
kids
the
from 99,
edition,
who are three, they're like 20 years old. and they're feeling nostalgia for their Star Wars. They loved Hayden. He came out with the, with Ian McDiarmid, and they were like,
they don't get to have their Star Wars.
I have a very, very strong feeling.
I went to the theater when I was four. It's my Star Wars.
We're going to see Anakin's Force Ghost, I think, in episode 7 or 8.
And if George Lucas isn't writing the dialogue,
yeah,
he might not be as bad.
I think he might get another shot, man.
Well, the
one thing I think
going back to Rogue One, it's, I think everyone was thankful for that Disney didn't make...
It's Bartholomew.
That Disney didn't make...
It really is. I wasn't being a jackass.
I know, I saw him over there. That Disney made a dark movie and it wasn't all the cutesy member, like, Rogue One was, like, I think everyone was pleased that Disney didn't go down that, like, we're going to make this all for kids route.
Well, I haven't seen the uncut edition, but I understand that that's even, like, shitloads darker.
Oh, I'd love to see
that. Like, there's a lot of, like, battle scenes
that
they cut for the theatrical.
When Cassian first shoots the spy at the beginning because he won't shut up and he's freaking out, I was like, oh, we're back to this, are we?
Yeah.
All right, cool, That's very exciting, man. I can't wait.
And I really, I still want to know where the Stormtrooper toy came from. Like, is there a gift shop on the Death Star? Is that a thing?
Yes.
Probably. It looked like it was handmade.
You stole that from bad lip reading. Where he's like, when they were in the scene in 7, when Han's like, is there a gift shop over there? He goes, there's a sale on dresses. From the episode 7 bad lip reading on YouTube.
They talk
about the gift shop on the...
Oh, but no, to me, it's the Stormtrooper doll.
It's the beginning,
doll.
Right? Beginning, little young...
Ray has the Stormtrooper...
Not Ray, Jin. Jin has the little Stormtrooper doll. Yeah. I was watching a thing on Rebels the other day, and they're talking... Because season 4 is going to be the last season. And they're going to end it. So they're really going to be, at this point, we're letting go of the past. We're going to be really going into the future. So the next cartoon will probably not be then. It will probably be more like modern day now. But they're saying there's going to be some interesting surprises. It's a very Mandalorian heavy season. I think Boba Fett returns in the next season of Star Wars Rebels. Calling it right now. Bet you we see Boba Fett.
You heard it here, folks.
Next season.
Well, I mean, there's been, oh my God, like just... There was even one of the short stories in one of the compilations that came out from Lucasfilm where he didn't die.
Oh, there's been two or three ways, but I think the canon one is that he just used his jetpack or something and blasted his way out of the Sarlacc pit.
Is him not dying canon again?
Yeah, it's canon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because I think it's like, maybe it's Tales from the Mos Eisley Canteen, like one of those compilations of short stories. It was him getting out.
Right,
of it.
But that would be Legends now. So that particular story wouldn't be canon.
I think what they're
going
to do though is they're going to bring him back and probably in that episode show why he's alive and how he's alive.
Well, you have to.
No, wait, you don't have to. Sorry, we're wrong.
This is
Rebels pre-Jedi. Is before Jedi. Yeah. He's not dead yet.
Yeah.
So yes. So I think he's going to show up next season. And
I think this
Lilu, Monty Pass.
I think this season's going to have to be dark because there's people that need to die.
It's a dark show.
There's people that need to die before A New Hope.
Yeah, it's
And then speaking of die, so you've got Han dead in episode 7.
Yeah.
You now have Carrie Fisher dead in real life, but apparently filmed all of her scenes for 8.
For 8, yes. Yeah.
So, but do they kill her off?
They rewrote it. They rewrote 9. They pretty much said that they... I don't know what they're doing, but they pretty much said they couldn't do what the plan was without...
Your ghost Jedi right there, Leia.
Maybe that could be pulled off with the digital because there's a filter over right? Yeah.
Well, but not only that, but no, because, I mean, she was always so adamantly not a Force user. Like, she was, you know, refused to become a Jedi.
Yeah.
You know, didn't want anything to do with it. I mean, although
she did a little training in the books and stuff.
Yeah.
But, I think...
Well, she becomes a knight in the books by the time we're, like, post-using Vong War. She's a Jedi knight.
Nah, pretty much,
yeah. But those don't count anymore.
Well, they don't. No, they don't.
Those were the most badass Star Wars villains ever, too. The Yuuzhan Vong.
I wish they would bring them back.
New Jedi Order, you know. But I think they're just going to, like... I think it's really going to think it's going to be Anakin.
So now
I think it's going to be Anakin Force Ghost, man.
So speaking of, you know, giving us little bits and pieces of the legends.
Right.
So are Rey and Kylo...
No.
Twins?
No. I don't think so at all.
I think they've established that he's older than her.
I think they've also established, if you really pay attention, that she's nobody. The whole point is she's a nobody.
So we're back to episode 1.
In a way, but he had a destiny.
Everyone's an orphan.
He had a background. He had, you know, that he was, you know, kind of part of the family. I think that The best explanation I can think of or have coddled together is she's been living on Jakku, and Jakku has a light force well that's been talked about, and that was a big part of the battle of the, you know why that in the Battlefront video game thing ends up crashing, the Star Destroyer that she's like salvaging in,
right?
That crashed over an area that is a light side well, so she has just been soaking up the light side of the force her entire life. Also, there's no reason to think that anybody brought her to that planet. When we see her parents leaving her behind, she's never been anywhere else. She never says anything. All she said is, I've been here my whole life. She says nothing to say that she's not from Jakku. There's no reason to think that she's anybody but a nobody.
So it's not that they dropped her, it's that they
that
just
left
her. That
she left her behind. Yeah. There's no reason to think that she came
What's
from anywhere
What's Lucas's
else?
Infatuation with orphans? Everyone's an orphan.
I guess it's a...
Serious, adopted or orphan.
Yeah, totally. It's probably like,
well,
you know, conquering the odds type thing. No,
it's Disney now, yeah. So you can't have parents.
I don't think she's anybody special. I think she's just someone who's going to... do good and be the new hero, you know? I don't think her parents are anybody. I don't think there's any prophecy about her. I think all of it, because the Force is already in balance. Prophecy's done. That shit's long. Whether you think Luke or Anakin was the chosen one, doesn't matter. It's all done.
No.
All that's, the prophecy was fulfilled.
Anakin,
balance was brought back to the Force.
Anakin was.
I agree.
Period. End of story.
I agree.
Because
he killed the Emperor. Done.
No. No, the whole bringing balance to the Force.
Right.
He killed all the Jedi.
He killed all the Jedi.
So it even the
There were way too many Jedi compared to the two Sith.
Okay, I see what you're saying, but here's the thing. The prophecy itself, word for word, was that he will come to destroy the Sith. That is in the prophecy. The word, it's a Jedi prophecy, and the words are, he will come to bring balance to the Force and destroy the Sith. Okay. Whether that worked out exactly, when he brought balance back, the minute he killed the Emperor, in a Jedi, when he turns back and he lifts up the Emperor and throws him down the thing, that's the moment that the Force comes into balance.
Why did the Emperor die? Jedi don't die when they fall.
Because he went into a nuclear reactor.
Let's not live this circle.
Then at that point you've got theoretically one Jedi, Luke, one Sith, Vader still left alive, still in balance. Yeah.
You know, that was the kind of look at it, you know, because the rule of two was Darth Bane, right? Like thousands of years ago, and the Sith kept killing each other. And he was like, screw this, we keep killing each other. There will only be two. One to hold the power, and one to crave it.
So now, riddle me this, Batman. So how is it that when the Emperor tells Vader, hey, you know what, we should recruit your kid... How does Vader not go?
Sorry.
How does Vader not go? You know, because you're gonna keep my kid and kill me off because there's only two. So that means one of us has to go.
when Luke surrenders, the conversation they have is, "Join me, son. Fight by my side. Together we can overthrow the Emperor." And
well, that was out on the
that was in Jedi.
Empire.
Yeah.
Was that Empire?
Yeah. Join with me, and together we can rule as father and son. Yeah.
Yeah. So he had it on his mind, at least.
Yeah.
But again, he's, you know, the Emperor had such a hold on him, right? Because there's a new book that I guess the new comic coming out. Okay, you know the no, like the most hated moment in Star
Wars?
It's
supposed to pick up.
No, which one's the worst no? The no.
That one.
Or the Emperor going, no, no, to Samuel Jackson.
No, the no.
No, no, no.
I hate both of those no's.
Actually, the worst no is the no that they added when Vader picks up the Emperor to throw him down the well.
It's your favorite stormtrooper.
Nice. Totally. Yeah. So, you know, that no, the comics, they're going to fix that scene.
That's the Vader Marvel comics?
It's supposed
so
to pick up
they
right
changed
after
the
that
no
moment.
To a more like angry no, and then the Emperor goes into explaining
I would have
and
rather,
giving him excuses.
I would have rather him...
pad that out a bit so it's not as shitty.
I would have rather have said anything but no.
Yeah, you know. Have you heard him on Rebels though? James Earl Jones? Because he's doing Vader on Rebels and it's good stuff, man. It's good stuff.
I only watched the one episode with Maul and Kenobi because they told me about it.
Twin
I wasn't watching the series religious.
But there's some cool stuff in there, man. But they've extended so much of it. Inquisitors and everything, so...
So under the Comic-Con, what are you looking to get out of it? You made it a nice 4.5 hour drive coming down here.
Yeah, this is just the most fun I have at any con of the year, man. I mean, it's not even that different from any other convention, but there's something special. I don't want to sound cheese, but like
it's us.
It's kind of you guys. It's everybody here. There's it's just
about the party afterwards for us. It's not even about this.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. This is the best logistically thrown con for me, favorite wise, because there's the bar, there's the hotel, there's the show. It's all one. It's kind of like C2E2 is the same way, where everything's right there.
You park and you
the
go.
Con just goes out to the lobby and keeps going, right? So I love that aspect of it. I like that the celebrities and guests here have such a good time. They really drop their guards to the point where they want to be out there drinking with us and having a good time.
Yeah, if I just made $20,000 signing my name on a piece of paper, I'd want to party with those people too.
But normally they have their own spot or their own section or whatever. They go out to their own restaurant. Not here.
No.
Here they're all out by the fire. They're all, getting smokes off.
It's not like 2 in the morning and Tully Blanchard's watching the band. I'm like, God, it's awesome.
My first year here, 4 years ago, and it was a Thursday night I got here. And I go out to the fire on the patio there, and I ended up spending the whole night drinking whiskey sours and smoking cigars with Scott Wilson.
Nice.
And that was my first ever experience at this con, and it hadn't even started yet.
Did you ask him how he grew his leg back?
No.
That'd be the first thing I would ask him.
That would have been silly. But, good people, good times. This week, this weekend's, same old thing. I'm getting to moderate my first panel.
Awesome.
For Motor City. Vic Mignogna, who is a crazy voice actor, at 5:30. That's going down today. And I'm looking forward to that.
Nice. So, what's he do?
Anime, mostly. He's a voice actor. But he's done over 200 anime shows. So I get even Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh,
is his big thing,
I
think.
All right, cool.
So, Q&A session will moderate for him. Should be fun.
We're just happy. We got a phenomenal drop from Christy Swanson. That's all we needed.
Oh, did you get one?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. We can get more, man. I got a few.
I got one from Big Van Vader.
Nice. Well, I got to go talk to Robin Lord Taylor. I got to know him at Great Philadelphia Comic Con last year. I did his panel, and he actually got on really well with Aaron, my girlfriend there. They hit it off like crazy.
Nice.
Well, I guess she's a fan of his older work that I didn't know about.
Didn't even know it was a thing.
Yeah, so she ended up talking to him, and of course he got all excited because he's like, you know that movie?
Right.
Or something. Some horror film called Would You Rather that he did. Yeah.
I've heard of that.
And I guess it was
Rosie O'Donnell or Oprah. No!
I think
that's my horror movie.
Yeah.
I think that's my favorite thing to do at these is you find someone that's popular for one thing, but you're a fan of something that no one's there to see.
Yeah.
I want to wait in line for Sean Astin and then have him sign a copy of Encino Man instead of Lord of the Rings.
Dude, when we said Christy Swanson sign Bob and Dave Touch My Hoo-Hoos, she's like, I've never done this before.
What?
Yeah, she's like, it's always Buffy or whatever.
What is that from?
Dude, where's my car?
Oh.
We touched Christy Swanson's hoo-hoos.
So she's like, I never did that before. Then when we asked her to do the drop, she's like, that's a first for everything, I guess.
That's cool, man. That's a good drop, though.
It is.
Ridiculous. Yeah, no, good kind. We gotta hunt down Kelly LeBrock. We gotta, make our way over to the Weird Science Island.
We know where they are.
Anthony Michael Hall. Yeah, yeah. And, of course, half the cast of The Walking Dead is here, so they're always
Of course, all you have to do is take a dump on an episode of The Walking Dead, and you're set for life on the con circuit.
He's not lying.
But there's a hell of a comic lineup here. Jason
Fabok. Well, Artist Alley is ridiculous. Have you walked through there?
Oh, yeah, several times.
Good Lord.
Jason Fabok, who's the artist on Justice League and Batman. He's from Windsor, Ontario. So he's one of our Canadianas, and he's here, which is super fun, and he's chilling out. So, and Stan Konopka, plug, The Rejected, coming from Source Point Press, is premiering this weekend, and so happy for him.
I thought maybe he got rejected at the border.
Well, he's from Philly.
He's just happy he's making good. American dollars
they
instead
keep
of Canadian dollars.
Well, what the fun part is? When we were in Philly, I brought a couple guys down, A. Shea Hahn and Sean Daly, artists from Toronto. And they made a killing in Philly. Philly's a big book-buying place. So they made a lot of money, but then they got to go home. and make that money even into more money. Right. You know, you just magically transform.
That's why I always love, you know, go across the border to the casino and you just hit the money exchange place and you've already won. Go home.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I got to deal with the other thing where I'm like, okay, I'm going down there. I need $500, so I better bring $3,000
right.
just to be covered.
Carry the two need. Yeah,
it's ridiculous. But.
I'm a little worried for you. I mean, I heard that Canada's looking at
Worry for us. We can get hurt and cost us nothing.
Well, full legalization, you're never going to be able to get through the border here after that goes into effect.
Why?
Because I feel like they're going to tighten the border up once they think...
Well, I'm already legal. I'm a legal prescribed medical marijuana user, so I never have a problem. Well, and obviously, I don't bring it with me, but either way, it hasn't come up. So I don't think it'd be that big a deal. I think there's bigger shit that's going to be a problem than that.
There are bigger issues at the borders that they're worried about. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm more worried about the softwood lumber situation, as crazy as that sounds, you know? So, what? You ever heard about that?
No.
Oh, Trump wants, I guess it's too good a deal. We're ripping you guys off by taking too much money for our wood or some nonsense. So they don't want to use our wood anymore, or they don't want to pay the taxes to bring it over the border or something. So it's a big kerfluffle right now, and all the Canadian politicians are, like, freaked out because, like, you know, it's big money for
that's
us,
that's what
right?
we have to fight about. That's
wood.
That's way to wood.
It's, you know, it's tough.
Dumbasses.
So, hey, Jay, we're gonna cut you loose. We'll bring you back on tomorrow if you want to wrap some more.
Absolutely. No, it's been a pleasure to hang out.
We can,
you know, when we get drunk enough, I'll have the handhelds with me out in the
don't do it.
We got all our Zoom. My H6 is stock packed.
Yeah, I got it. That's what's running neck here.
I know we can find you on Podcast Detroit, but where do we find you online?
AnElegantWeapon.ca. Yes. For Canada.
.ca.
.ca. And of course on Podcast Detroit. So
appreciate it, Jay.
I appreciate the chance to hang out. Chat,
awesome,
guys.
Man.
It's always fun. We'll do it some more.
Look forward to hanging out with you tonight. This is a special special episode of the IT and the D from Motor City Comic Con. We're gonna take a quick break and we will be right back.
Take it easy.